Considering how to make the American church more nimble could be a wise endeavor. That's the key sentence that introduces our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As always, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. David, it's important that we think about the future from time to time, even if thinking about the future could become a little bit of a downer. But I wonder if you would consider with me today what kind of disasters our nation could face in the next 3 or 4 decades, the next 30 or 40 years.
We're not around then, Dean, if you understand that.
It's probably true. We'll both be with the Lord.
Yep. So we're talking about the next generation, my kids and their kids, which are the grandchildren. So 30, 40 years. This is a discussion I had with some millennials. They were between, at the very youngest, I would say 19, and into the early 20s, because they were mostly college seniors, some underclassmen. And essentially, that question was asked, and they think about this more than I think about it. But they came up with a list, and I took notes, so I have the notes that some of what they talked about. They talked about war. War could be something we won, but at the same time, not without damages. They talked about nuclear war as a possibility. They talked about some of our cities being wiped out, the infrastructure being wiped out, even though we were victorious. They talked about what it would be like to lose the war. You know, we used to think in those terms when we were younger, what if communism came in and took over? There was the whole atomic scare, which is still there today. To lose the war, I mean, that would be a massive change. Say radical Islam took over America. At that point in time, it's almost impossible to think of what that would mean for us as a people, and more specifically for us as Christian people. They said another possibility in the area of war was a stalemate, where neither side wins, but there's just the continuing destruction of everything. It's almost like Syria today, only a worldwide scale. And what that would mean in terms of just everyday life, just try to continue, it would be very, very difficult. Talked about even war as cyber war, and that's a world I'm not a part of that much, but it would cause, and it's what the experts say probably will be our next war. So you're talking about incredible disruption of life as we know it. Talked about possibility of depression. My parents were a part of the Depression. Neither one had high school education. Dad talking about going without meals, having a whole different understanding about saving than my generation has had. Talked about the possibility of epidemics. That's something you see in not just the tabloids, you see it in newspapers and respectable magazines a lot. This virus that they just can't get on top of. Talked about the possibility of a dictator. Apart from other countries, even, you know, there are countries now where the military has taken over. I don't know what prohibits the military from taking over in America. It's never happened. If somebody wanted to do it, I guess it would be pretty hard. And there's an incredible independent spirit in America, but I still think it's a possibility. Obviously, global warming is a big thing that is in the minds of the younger people, and that has huge ramifications. It has almost the biblical proportions of the cities being flooded. They talk about the seas rising 10, 12, 13 feet and what a massive difference that would make on cities around the world. They talked about terrorism. That was a big thing. Certainly terrorism is a huge part of our world today. It's not a part of the American world, but it's a part of Africa, obviously. I've been in Nigeria. And terrorism is just an everyday life for the Christians in northern Africa, and not northern Nigeria, rather. With that comes persecution. These are just some of the things. One of the things that was mentioned, which nobody thinks about that much, and I think that America, which has fallen so much spiritually and morally, talk about a nation coming under the judgment of God. When you go back into Scripture, there are times when God said that he wouldn't hear the prayers of Israel anymore. You know, it's conceivable that could happen even in America. God's not going to listen to the prayers anymore because it's just gone too far downhill. There's no reversing. So those are all possible things that could happen, and they're all very serious and put us kind of into a downer in some ways, I guess.
One of my concerns, and that's why I brought the subject up, is I don't hear churches dialoguing about the future very much, and particularly this idea of nimbleness. the church becoming more nimble in order to react properly or adjust properly to the kinds of things that might happen. So where I was headed in my thoughts was considering whether or not churches could adjust to these kinds of problems and what are some of the difficulties or barriers they might face.
In Nigeria today, there are over 300 churches that have been burned down by the Boko Haram, the radical Islamic movement. Those churches have been in many ways immobilized. The congregation doesn't know how to respond. Some of that is because many of their people have been literally murdered. They say now it's an average of 10 Christians a day who are killed by the Boko Haram. If you put that into our country, say 20 Christians a day killed, that has a toll over time. And then how do you respond to all that? And then the church is being burned down. The nimbleness is not there, but they're trying to become nimble to say, how do we survive all of this? They're asking for help. What would happen in the American church? I think the American church is probably very minister-oriented. What if we can't come to church and hear the sermon? And what if the church building is there no longer? And I'm not sure that we would know how to continue to relate, because in a lot of churches, we don't know each other that well. My own situation, I would say that I would know some people who are going to cover my tail no matter what, to the best of their ability, because we've had long-term relationships in our geographic setting. Bruce and Kathy know that if I have resources and they need them, they're theirs. The same thing is true about us and them. If I need a place to go for a sanctuary, they're going to be there for me. Other people within the group will be there for me. But for people who are just church attenders, that's not going to work. I don't want to be an alarmist. I was talking to a pastor the other day, and somewhat a similar topic, and he gave me a very good phrase that I liked. He said, we don't want to be alarmist, but he said there's a passage in 1 Chronicles 12, and it's verse 32, and it's hard to make it a text because it's just a phrase. These are all the people who joined David at Hebron. You know, David is an outlaw in many ways, and the government of Saul is after him. But these different men joined him, including the men of Issachar, which is one of the tribes of Israel. And it says, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. So that's a neat phrase, isn't it? They understood what was going on in the times in which they were alive, and they knew what Israel should do, so they joined with David. What we need today as people of God is we need those individuals in our churches who understand the times and know what we should be doing to not be alarmists, but to prepare ourselves and to move away from just the organization during times of peace to what it would be like to be organized, at least to be able to function, or to be, if I use your word, nimble, adaptable, and be able to be supportive of one another if it's the worst of scenarios, or if it's one of these worst of scenarios. Can we live through that and still be the church? Obviously we can. They did it in China. You know, they have been able to not only be the church, but be the church victorious and growing in China in spite of all of the persecution and everything else. But they are not like the church in the United States. It's a whole different kind of church when you get to China, at least in terms of the underground church or the churches that are emerging now. So what are their secrets? We need to learn their secrets. They're much more small group oriented, I would say. They have learned to survive without huge... They do have media ministry, but it's mostly underground. They have to be very careful what they listen to. It's mostly coming in from outside. Once you take all that away, that's unfortunate. But even then, they have the cell groups. There is a support element that they have built over a period of time. And we would need to build that here. How that would come about, or how it's even to be talked about. Part of being nimble is looking at what options are there and saying, could we be able to make it through this time? And that's going to be done not only on a lay leadership, that has to be done on a pastoral leadership as well. What the ministers in Nigeria have said in retrospect is that they would have been far better off if they had been mentoring key leaders all along. So instead of a single leader, the pastor, with huge respect, because once you wipe out that pastor, you've wiped out a lot of what's going on. If that pastor had been training Timothys all along and having small groups where they were giving leadership so that somehow it breaks down into the level of geography and closeness, it would have been much better. And I think they were probably further ahead even than we are as an American church. There are churches probably that would do well, and then there are other churches that would just disintegrate because they're not nimble enough. And then the question is, how do you prepare for that? I don't know the answers, so I'm not going to go a whole lot further, but I do say, I think it's something that should be talked about. It's something we should say, what are our vulnerable spots? Where are we weak? What do we need to buoy up? How do we get these mentor relationships going and so on? If this person's killed, this person can take over, and there's a certain, it just happens, you know. So anyway, interesting topic. Your interesting word, nimble. My guess is that the North American church is not real nimble. How do we make it that the elements can still be served to the people, even if the lead pastor is gone, or even if two pastors have been gone? Can there still be the presence of Christ in the communion that is done in homes, and are we able to carry it on? Yes, in some ways, no in other ways. Certainly, there isn't the element of how do we as a people stand strong even if the worst of times come? So how do we get ourselves prepared? We usually are pretty upbeat in our conversation. This is kind of a quiet one, isn't it?
Yes, but it's a serious subject and it needs to be considered. And that's exactly what we're saying in our key sentence. Considering how to make the American church more nimble could be a wise endeavor. We're so glad you joined us for this discussion today. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, effective life-transforming services, and effective life-transforming churches. And we invite you to join us again for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.